Grancy podcast. My name's Jackie.
And I'm Ashley.
This week we're going to be talking about the film Book of Shadows, which is the Blair Witch sequel. Well, it's called Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2.
Yeah.
Very original title.
I know, right?
You can tell they put a lot of time and effort into that.
Mm.
And you'll see just how much time and effort they put into the film as we dissect.
Yeah.
So, in the film, a group of people go into the Black Hills to investigate after the Blair Witch Project film has come out, and things go awry. Now, in Rotten Tomatoes, the description for the film is, "Adventure and fantastical treasure await a young man on a quest to discover an ancient book whose contents hold the secret to life in this adventure tale from director Bob Reiner." Now,
That sounds like a different movie.
It does sound like a different movie to what we watched.
Yeah. That's the thing. But the whole thing, because I was thinking about it, because you brought up, like, they didn't even discuss, like, a book. Was, like, was there a book? Like, there's no Book of Shadows.
I had no idea what they were talking about with that. But I think in IMDb, they describe it a lot better. They say, "A group of tourists arrives in Burkittsville, Maryland, after seeing the Blair Witch Project, to explore the mythology and phenomenon, only to come face to face with their own neurosis and possibly the witch herself."
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So basically, we're like following this group who is going, looking around at like stuff to do with the Blair Witch Project with this guy who has previously been in an asylum.
Mm-hmm. Which it wasn't really explained properly because you kind of see it. Mm. The thing is, they show it at the start where he's in the asylum and you presume, oh, that's the ending. Like, you know, he's probably killed everyone and like now he's been taken away. But apparently that's like a pretty cool sort of situation, but they don't explain that at all.
I've honestly got no idea what was going on there.
Yeah, I don't think they even explain why he's in the asylum, do they?
No, they don't.
Great.
So the film had a budget of $15 million and in the box office made back $26 million. Well, $26.4 million.
Mm.
And that was in America.
Oh, yeah.
So it did okay.
I think it would have mostly gotten hype because, you know, the original one was so big.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But I feel like everyone would have been like, oh, there's a sequel, let's go see it. But, like, it's not great.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. On IMDb, it got 3.9 out of 10. What do you think of that score?
It's higher than I would have scored it. But at the same time, like, I feel like when it came down to maybe the cinematography, it was pretty cool. Or, like, the overarching idea. Like you were saying.
Yeah, I like the concept behind it. The concept
was good. It's just like, as you were saying, like the execution was just shit.
Yep. And on Rotten Tomatoes, the tomato meter gave it 14% and the audience score was 18%. Wow, what a difference.
Mm.
The audience is so much more forgiving.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it could have had to do, like, they had a lot of jump scares and, like, creepy shit happening the whole time, which most of it wasn't explained. Like, we kind of understood it because we did research into the first one because they brought up a lot of theories and stuff that were brought into play there. But I feel like if you're going in, like, with fresh eyes, you're kind of like, what the fuck is happening?
Basically, yeah. Yeah. Would you like to talk us through the cast list?
Yeah. There weren't many people shown, but I'll just kind of go over the main cast list. Mm-hmm. So there's the psychotic, crazy guy who you kind of see at the start of the film, like at the psych ward. So he's basically the main character. So his character's name is Jeffrey Patterson, but the actor's name is Jeffrey Donovan. No idea who he is. By the way, I don't know who any of the cast members are. I don't think they're, like, big.
No.
There's a goth girl called Kim Diamond. The actress's name is Kim Director. Then there's the witchy girl, Erica. Mm-hmm. And another thing is they've all kind of gone by their actual first names, we'll pick that up as we go by. Then there's another guy who's like, is he a researcher or something? He's like,
Something like that.
Yeah, he's Stefan.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another, the pregnant one who's his girlfriend is Tristan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the main cast. And there's like the sheriff guy who's like some guy called Lanny Flattergy or something. And then there's the director who made like a guest appearance is one of the Berksville townspeople, Joe Berlinger. But yeah, the cast isn't relevant because like they're not, none of them are done big stuff. I don't even think half of them are in acting anyway. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we saw them and we're like, we have no idea. Because usually in that time frame, there's like actors that kind of stand out because this is like the early 2000s. So there's like certain actors who'll be like, yeah, I've seen them here and there. But at this, we like, we none of them we recognized.
Yeah. The only thing I found interesting was that they were using their real first names, which is what they did in the original film.
That was pretty cool.
Even though they changed their last names, but like,
we didn't even know their last names until we searched it out.
Very true.
Yeah,
it's not really relevant because there's like too many characters to keep track of, so you don't need to know all of their last names.
Yeah.
So when we like when the film starts, it's like sort of documentary style, people talking about the first film. And it's
there's real like news reports as well. Like if you saw like there was like actual talk shows and stuff with the people on it talking about like the original film and like how insane it was and all the publicity it got and stuff. But yeah,
that kind of initially that confused me because I was like, is this a documentary about the Blair Witch Project? What's going on here? But like after that, they went back to regular film style.
Yeah.
And I must say, it's interesting to note that the director, he's only really done true documentaries before. So it was like, he just had to throw a little bit of that in at the start.
Yeah, because when you brought that up, it kind of made more sense. But yeah, it went along, like you were saying, like the metal line and stuff, with the way it was introduced and stuff. How like the town, and the town had become like infamous after the first film. It seemed that the town was being, like, affected by the film and stuff. Because, like, they're talking about people coming in, taking photos of their houses and stuff. And there's, it's getting, like, a bad rap, basically. Because, like, people were only coming in for, like, the Blair Witch and stuff. So, the town was known for, like, the film. And, like, a lot of the townsfolk were being, like, you know, we want to leave. We hate this town. People are going around taking photos of us. Like, there's no privacy anymore. Mm-hmm. So, I was like, damn. But yeah, after that it kind of went straight into that guy, the Jeffrey.
Yeah.
So I think he's like, it's Jeffrey.
Josh? Wait. Oh, no.
Wait.
I'm being confused Jeffrey. Because
I was like, wait, no.
In my note, I was talking about Josh, but like Josh from the previous film. No. So like, that's why I'm confused. Yeah.
Jeffrey. That's the crazy guy. So you see him at like a psych hospital being tortured and you're like, what the fuck's happening?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's intense. Like
they never come back to that. They never explain it.
They don't. Exactly. They don't explain like
what is happening. The point of including something like that if you're not going to explain it? Like it feels like it could tie in because at the end, spoiler, by the way, they show that like what everyone thinks has been happening actually hasn't been happening and like they've actually been committing a lot of violence.
Yeah.
And, like, it could tie in there because it could be like, okay, this guy's clearly neurotic, so he's not seeing what he thinks he's seeing. But they don't reference it.
But
they don't talk about it.
Yeah, that's the thing. What they should have done instead, because they had, the three people who were, like, the ones doing all the bad stuff. So it was the researcher boyfriend, the goth girl, and Jeffrey. Like, it was those three people. Stefan, Kim, and Jeffrey. But what they could have done is it just been Jeffrey the whole time. And it was just, like, his neurosis and stuff that made him do all this shit.
That would have made sense.
Yeah, that would have been so much better. Like, it would have made the film just a little bit more better than it actually was.
Because that would have, like, tied in everything. It would have made sense. Whereas it feels like even if they were going with, like, the supernatural angle, it just doesn't fit right, including the psychiatric stuff. Because, like, I feel like they're trying to, like, the original film, sort of leave it up to you to decide whether it's actually supernatural or whether it's, like, it's people going crazy. So it's, like,
I feel like they could have left it more open in the fact, because they seem decided more as like it is like supernatural, but at the same time there's also a psychiatric point in it. But it's like, you're not giving us options, you're more like stating it's both of them, you know what I mean? It's just, it's a bit odd, because like, especially when it comes to down to Stefan, because like when they're interrogating Kim and Stefan, because like Kim, they're just attacking her for being goth. They're like, oh, like they, you, I think one of the quotes or something.
I think earlier on, I don't recall where it happened, but
yeah, they reference in her makeup or something to be as like a disguise to hide her.
I think it's like, yeah, one of the police officers says to Kim, you think that black shit on your face gives you power? Wipe it off. You're just a scared little girl underneath that.
Yeah. And, like, they also talk about Stefan as well, as how he was doing, like, so well in school. Like, he has all these degrees and all that shit. It's like, how did he get tied into all of this? So it's like, it doesn't make sense for them to, in particular, to, like, lose their shit. Because, like, with Jeffrey, it made sense. Because, like, the police hate him. Because even you find out through, like, the film, they're, like, attacking him. Like, you know what I mean? They're like, oh, you're a bad kid. Like, you're still a bad person now and stuff. So what... I don't know. I feel like even with, like, the psychotic thing, instead they could have just shown him being, like, thrown in jail. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like that would have made a bit more sense. Because, like, the psych thing, unless they... removed Stefan and Kim from the play, it would have made more sense, like him going insane. But yeah, it's a bit weird. I don't know.
What did you think about their the first night of them all camping out in the woods? And like, what happens there?
Basically, it's a bit weird. Like, they go straight into it. Like, it's just like them, they don't really explain how they know each other, which is a big thing.
Yeah.
Because you kind of know how, like, there's, like, Stefan and the Tristan girl, like, they're together and stuff.
Yeah, it's sort of assumed that you know that they're, like, being touristy about the Blair Witch, but, like, you don't know how they, like...
how they got together. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they could... I don't know. Because it's, like, 2000s as well, so, like, the online isn't, like, a big, big thing. You know what I mean? It's not, like, now. But it's just, it's a bit weird how they got together. But, yeah, even there, they're taking everything as a joke, but the whole time the goth girl as well, she was being like hella creepy. Do you remember, like, she was referencing stuff that's gonna happen in the future and stuff. It was weird. Like, it was like, she gave me really creepy vibes. Like, not like, oh, she's goth, she's creepy. It's more like she was being really, like, she was like stating stuff that's gonna happen in the future, and it was just horrifying.
It was like, yeah, what, it was like she's about? Like seen visions or something.
Yeah, and it's like they're all like pulling it off as a joke, but like everything kind of came into play. But yeah, like, they, the whole thing is, like, they go out, they party. Also, one of the girls is pregnant as well, like,
was yes! Tristan's pregnant.
Yeah. I feel like she does have a miscarriage that night, because she had, like, a dream about her killing the baby or something, and she woke up and, like, she had the miscarriage. But it's a bit weird, because I'm like, was she actually drinking that night? Because it would make sense. Because it seemed like they were all drunk, and, because that's the thing, the whole thing was, they all got drunk, did stupid shit they couldn't remember, and they woke up, like, what happened?
Yeah, and all the all of their film equipment that they set up to, like, film what was going on that night, was all destroyed.
Yeah. So it's a bit odd. Like, if she was... I feel like if it was one of those situations where they got super drunk and as well as had kind of, like, this... What's the word? Like, they kind of knew it was, like, a creepy, like, area and stuff. They could have, like... I wouldn't say pretended to get possessed, but it's more like there was an influence in that could have caused them to do all the stupid shit they did. Because she does have the miscarriage, so, like, they kind of blame it on the witch, but it could have just been the fact that she was drinking as well. Because I think they did they do drugs as well? A lot of stuff was happening
that night. I think some of them did do drugs as well. Yeah,
that's the thing. That could have... Because it stays in your system for a while, and especially if they... The way they set it up, it was more like, oh... they were in, like, the Blair Witch area, so, like, they would have been possessed and stuff, as well as, like, the guy, like, the psychotic guy was going crazy and he made everyone else go crazy. But when it comes down to it in its raw self, if you think about it in a logical way, it could have just been them mixing together the alcohol and the drugs and just going in a crazy killing spree. Because that's what they basically do. They go and kill a bunch of people.
Because on the first night, a couple of weird things happen. First thing is this other group of, like, tourists,
touristy, yeah.
come through and are angry that they've taken their spot already, and they end up going back a different direction.
Yeah.
And then the next day you find out that they're all dead.
And it's done like in a ritualistic kind of way. They've set them up. It wasn't in a pentagram or something.
Yeah. Yeah, they set their bodies up like that, and it's just like, how did that happen?
That's the thing. It could have just been because they were angry at each other, and with the drugs and the alcohol, like, they could have, you know...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they
could have like, been... with the whole, like, they already know about the myth of the Blair Witch, so they might have, like, tricked themselves into thinking that they were possessed.
Yeah.
Like, who knows what happens to
people's brains. That's the thing, like, with the mind, it's crazy. You don't really know what's happening. But that's the thing, the film does brush it off as, like, it's a... You know, like, the witch came into play and stuff, but it's, like... it could have just been, like, a bad timing sort of situation. Yeah.
And then the other thing that happens is Kim, when they wake up, knows where the tapes are. The original tapes of the Blair Witch Project, like, Heather's actual tapes.
Wait, was it Heather's actual tapes or was it their tapes that I'm missing?
Oh, their tapes. Their tapes. Yeah. Why am I saying that?
Yeah, she knows where their tapes are,
And, oh, it's the location where Heather's tapes were supposedly found.
Yeah, that was weird,
Yeah.
Because I think they stayed at the, you know, if you remember from, like, the last podcast, Rustin Parr.
Yeah.
Where he killed, supposedly had killed all of those kids and stuff like that abandoned house. I think that's the same location they stayed at as well.
Yeah.
So I think they were trying to, with the research and stuff, they were trying to, these kids were trying to make it seem like it was, like, you know, the film was actually, like, supernatural and stuff. They didn't really... I think that's the only kind of theory they were playing with, and they were like, let's go there and see some supernatural shit happen. So they were focusing more on, like, the Rustin Parr situation, if anything, but
Yeah.
It's a little thing,
But yeah. And, Jeff also said, oh, that tree wasn't there before. There was a tree growing in the middle of the ruins, and... Yeah, but we don't know what to think about that, because, like, it's sort of already been shown that he's a little bit crazy. So, like...
Yeah, that was a weird one.
And he says that before they all start drinking and taking drugs.
Yeah, the tree is a weird thing, because there was a... one of the characters, she's, like... She's a witch herself, the...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know what type of witch she is, so...
She's like a hippie.
Hippie, yeah. Like, yeah, basically, yeah. Like, it kind of links in to... Because when they were looking... They go back, because this guy... The psych guy, he lives there, like, around there, in, like, this abandoned place.
Yeah, it was, like, an abandoned factory that he turned into his home, which he had security cameras set up in, and he also has, like, recordings of dog noises when you open the door.
Yeah, to shoo away, like, intruders and stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, when they go there, they kind of look back on the tapes to figure out what happened that night, because so much things happen, and they're, like, they don't remember. So while they kept looking at it, I think they're... When they were playing it, they kept seeing something in the background. It would look to, like, it was attached to the tree, like, moving around. But when they played it backwards and, like, they played it slower, it seemed to be that hippie girl. Like, she was dancing around it naked or something. So that kind of was a weird thing.
Yeah, that's what they saw.
Yeah, that kind of started everything. And then they started playing everything backwards and then, like, slowed it down and looked at it from, like, slides. It got a bit weird after that.
And before they go to his house, because Tristan has a miscarriage, all rush her to the hospital. Yeah. And, like, at that point you would think, okay, their couple would go home at least.
Yeah.
But they decide to go to his house, even after she's still recovering.
The day after, they don't even leave her there. And the thing is, the whole time she's seeing, like, kids, what seems to be, like, little kids and stuff.
Yeah, she's having, like, hallucinations of kids.
We think it's, like, the Rustin Parr kids, like, the guy she killed. So he killed, but it's not really explained at all. Like, and there's a couple of scenes where she tells her boyfriend and stuff, I'm seeing, like, a child, or, like, I'm seeing this, and he's like, it's okay, like, lie down, you'll be okay. And like, it's what, like, the fuck,
dude?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because they tend to leave her alone, like, a lot as well. And it's like, she clearly isn't in the right state of mind. Like, she
needs help. She needs to be looked after properly.
Yeah. It was just a weird thing. And, like, on top of that, the timeline, like, we're talking about, that was, like, so confusing. Because what they do is, like, they while they're at the party and while they're like partying and stuff in the woods, they keep flashing like back and forth. Like there's some, like they think they bring up like a murder that happened. They don't really explain it, but it's like murder flashbacks from like 1886. But that's what they think is like, the psych guy was bringing up like how there was like a big murder here and yeah. stuff. And he wasn't referencing though the Rustin Parr murder. It was like some random other one, which they did not give any context to. And then out of nowhere, they'd show like bodies being like slaughtered. Yeah,
They just kept cutting to people being cut up. They have a couple of seconds of that, and then they'd go back to the regular thing, and you're like, what is that? And it's never explained.
Mm. So at the start, we kind of thought that maybe it was, like, this random murder from, like, 1886 and stuff. But then I think at the end, you kind of presume it's, like, these guys who are killing, like, you know, that other group of tourists that are there.
Yeah.
But there's no confirmation in anything, so you're kind of, like, sitting there confused, like, yeah, what is
just,
it?
It's so confusing.
The timeline is just, like, the worst thing. It's just, it kept flicking back and forth, and it was so confusing. But yeah, they also do they kind of go back like with that they kind of sometimes they flash back to like the survivors.
Mm-hmm.
So you're confirmed right at the start that Jeffrey, the psych guy, he's still alive. Mm-hmm. Later on, you find out that Kim, the goth girl, is alive, as well as Steven, the researcher guy. Mm-hmm. But it kind of takes, it's a slow process, so it's kind of like, I feel like they did that, so it's kind of anticipation, like, you know, who's alive and who's dead. But once they kind of showed Stefan, you kind of figured everyone else would be dead.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
And, like, the thing is, so you're basically just waiting to see what happens as to why they end up in the police station. But, like, it's also, like, they don't really care about the characters that much. Like, they're...
We don't know anything about them. That's the thing. Yeah,
like, you don't know where they're from, what they're about.
Yeah.
What they're doing with their lives.
So you can't get connected to them if you have no idea what they like who they are. Like I feel like that was different. That was one of the biggest differences from like the first film, because you get emotionally attached to the characters. Like you don't learn a lot about their history, but you learn about their relationship. And that was something that wasn't covered here at all. Like at all, you didn't really know anything about that. So I feel like from there you're able to get connected, as well as like the pain, especially with like Heather and stuff, like the situation kind of she's going through.
Mm-hmm.
That alongside the journals they released, like her journals and stuff that they released publicly, you kind of learn a lot about her, so you're able to connect more with the characters and you feel sympathy when she's presumed dead and stuff.
Yeah.
But with this, like when they die, you're kind of like, no, I don't really know anything about you. Like I'm not connected to you. I don't care.
There's a few interesting things that happen with like when they're out of food. Oh, Jeff is so annoying because Kim goes to the fridge and sees that all they have is a little bit of old chicken from like leftovers and coffee.
Yeah, he has so much coffee.
That's literally all he has.
Yeah.
And he says to her, oh, go get some coffee or something, why don't you? Or like, I don't know what happens, but like she ends up going on like shaking the car and going down to the shops to try and get some food because they have no food.
Yeah.
And she ends up trying to buy beer and a couple of other things, I think.
Yeah.
And the kids who are outside the convenience store are, like, sexually harassing her.
Mm.
There's this kid who says to her, I've got something you can suck on, vampire girl or something.
Oh, God.
And she's like, why don't you whip it out then?
Yeah.
Trying to, like, you know. And, later at the counter, Peggy, who's the worker at the shop, she doesn't want to sell her the things.
Yeah.
She gets a little angry at her for not wanting to sell the things. And you see sort of like her just shove the money down and leave. And Peggy's filing her nails, which is important for later on.
You see her threatening her. Like, you see there's a camera there. They show, like, confirmation that it's all being recorded.
Yeah, and then I think later, Kim finds, like, the nail file that Peggy had, and it's covered in blood. And she, like, doesn't know how it got there.
Yeah. But you see, like, right at the end, like, there's so much that happens, but it's, like, their point of view, like, you figure out right at the end. is different to the point of view of like what's actually happening and stuff, because the one of the highlights of like this movie is the fact that they use surveillance cameras
everywhere. Yeah.
So they kept focusing on it. Like, we didn't know then, but that was kind of like I guess like the one of the best parts of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole thing with like the distorted like reality and stuff.
Yeah, the fact that they're seeing differently to what the cameras are seeing.
Yeah, because what you find out is like certain situations like that, as well as the witch girl who was found. Like, I think
she's dead in the cupboard.
They don't really explain like how she dies and stuff. But then you suddenly see her.
You see Jeff shoving her into the cupboard.
Yeah, no, not yet. Wait. That you see from the character's point of view, you see her like suddenly in the cupboard out of nowhere. So like, what the fuck's happening? And then another thing they see is Tristan, like, she's going crazy, and like the whole thing, they're kind of turning on her. She's like, she's being possessed and she's been doing all the bad things. And then she goes all crazy, like, she starts talking about how like this is meant to happen, and like she keeps going on and on, like being really creepy.
And doesn't she put the noose around her neck?
Yeah, and it shows her putting the noose around her neck and like taunting them, being like, you know, push me, kill me. And it shows that they, like, I think the Stefan or something accidentally lets go, but goes to grab her to make sure she doesn't fall.
Yeah.
But it shows her jumping off, leaping off, and pushing away.
Yeah.
And the way they portray it is if like she wanted to kill herself and stuff. Yeah. But then later on, right at the end, you see the police and stuff, they're reviewing the footage and they're showing them and being like, you guys are wrong, you did all the killings. So they show the situation with Peggy and how Kim takes the nail file from her hand and stabs her in the neck multiple times and puts it in her bag. And then the thing like you were saying with Jeffrey, you see Jeffrey lugging the witch girl's body and like putting it into the closet. And then you see security cameras with the whole situation with Tristan and how they're accusing Tristan of doing all the killings, and Tristan actually is being like, you guys, what are you guys talking about? Like, she's scared. You can see how terrified she is the whole time. And like, you see all the lines and stuff, all the things she was saying in the point of view of the characters was actually like just what's going, like, shit going on in their head. Like, it wasn't actually happening. And then you see Stefan actually putting the noose around her neck and pushing her off, which is not what we saw the first time around.
Mm.
So it's kind of like everything's like different, so you don't really hear.
Yeah. And the other thing is like they start blaming Tristan because they're convinced that she's like a witch and like she's the one who is trying to control them all because of what she starts saying to them or what they perceive her to be saying to them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's kind of interesting because they kind of, I don't know if it's really linked, but they sort of brought in the whole thing with like what's the word, it's not hypocrisy, it's like the, you know how like when some like with the whole thing with like the witch trials and stuff, like someone will say something, then like it kind of just keeps going and everyone's like reality, like sort
group of think kind of,
yeah it's like everyone goes crazy, but it's like hysteria.
Yeah.
They kind of brought that into play. I don't know if they were referencing it having to do something with like the whole like witchy situation that was going around, because they did bring up Ellie Kedwood, who was like, well, the Tristan brought her up I think twice or something, because she was like perceived as a witch in the town and they like burned her and stuff. But I'll tell the story a bit later, like towards the end. But, like, she kind of has a, she's one of, like, the theories and stuff for the original Blair Witch. Like, how she was the original Blair Witch and stuff. How she's causing havoc on the town. Yeah. But I feel like this could have been, like, a whole thing with, like, hysteria that could have been into play.
Yeah, like, the concept would have been better if they had, like, explained the story a lot better and, like, not thrown in pointless things.
Yeah.
Like, randomly cutting to, like, the people being cut up without any context and not bringing that back. That was confusing. Actually, I think they even had like shots of that they cut to during the opening credits.
It was played around so much. Yeah,
it was so confusing.
Yeah, we had no idea what was happening. It was insane. The whole thing. But
there's a difference between like implying something or like leaving little clues to something that you then either explain later or bring up again later.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Just so that the audience understands what's going on or why that's important. And just sprinkling stuff in for the sake of sprinkling it in.
Mm.
It's completely unnecessary.
Yeah, because you got to give, if you're going to bring it up somewhere along the line, you've got to give context to it.
Mm.
Or it's just kind of like irrelevant. That, you know what I mean?
It's just like, why?
Mm.
Just make your story good. God.
Mm.
Oh, actually, yeah. Did you have any other points you wanted to make about the story and the plot or the editing or any of that?
I think we basically covered, like, the main thing. Oh, I did like how they, like, right at the start, it was purposefully done, but they used, they were kind of using overarching kind of shots of, like, the area and stuff and, like, the woods. And they play, like, Marilyn Manson's Disposable Teens.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a really cool, because if, like, if you've heard the song and you've heard the lyrics, it kind of brings into play, like, the whole, like, fact that these kids and stuff, no one's going to give a shit about them, and, like, mm-hmm. they can easily be manipulated and stuff like that, which is, like, I feel like that was a cool thing to bring up, because that's exactly kind of what happened in the film.
Mm.
Just a little thing that I liked.
Yeah, I really liked the concept of, like, them seeing differently to what was actually happening. And, like, yeah. I think the director's intention there was, he was actually inspired by the original Blair Witch and how people believed that it was real.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, his whole thing was, like, it's lazy consumption of media. People just accept what they see because it's on video.
Yeah.
And I really, really hated the ending, because they just have, like, the sudden realization of what's happened, and then they just end it.
And that's it.
Like, they show the people in the police station, oh, this is what really happened, and show the tapes.
Mm.
And then they all realize, and that's it. It's like, you don't know what's going to happen next. Yeah. Like, they don't even hint at, like, the possibilities of what might happen next.
Because they basically end it for, like, the audience sort of thing, where it's, like, these people, like, what do they say? Like, they do end it with, like, kind of similar how they started it, with, like, a news report kind of thing, of showing them being taken away, and it's kind of like, I don't remember specifically what they said, but they basically referenced in how the original film, like, the influence it's having on, like, kids, the, it's kind of similar to the video games. I feel like they're bringing kind of that into play, how it's like, you know, it's bad for you and stuff. They're like, films like these are, like, really bad because, like, it influences murder and stuff like that. That's what they're talking about, and how, like, the original film, like, how kids these days are trying to recreate it and all that sort of stuff, and how it's like, don't watch this film, it's not good. But it was really stupid. I was like, what the fuck.
Something I found interesting, which might explain why the story was a bit rough and the edit was a bit rough, and that is that Artisan, which I think, I'm not sure if they're like the production company or like what they are, but they wanted to produce a sequel while the film's popularity was still at its peak. But Haxan Films, who made the original film, weren't ready yet, and they wanted to wait for the buzz to die down a bit. But Artisan decided to do it without them. And they hired Joe Berlinger. Berlinger,
yeah.
Who's the director of this film. I liked his idea, but oh my god.
They rushed, that's the thing. They rushed too quickly into it. Because the thing is, with a film like that, like, they wouldn't have known that, like, more than 10 years later, it would still have such a big hype and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's...
You can wait a bit.
Just, yeah.
Take your time, make something good.
It's better to wait than, like, rush into it. Because I feel like what they did, like, they have done another film. Like, they did wait a while for it, which is good. But the thing is, I feel like they've already got the shit show that is the second film. And it's like, it's too much. The film would have to be too great to bring up the hype again, you know what I mean? Like, it's pretty impossible, like, after the shit that was that this film, to, like, make another great film about it. It's kind of like one of the situations where it's just like, just let it go. Let it just be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is, they wanted, like, a quick cash grab, and I really hate that, because I know the film industry is actually about making money, and, like, they wanted to make money quickly by taking the hype and selling people something. But, like, if they actually bothered to take the time to make a better film, not only would they have a better film, but, like, that's a future investment, because people will continue to pay for that film later down the line.
Yeah, like, the first film, like, the thing is, they didn't need to even worry about, like, having, like, the budget being big. Like, they could have done, a small budget, too. And, like, the first one was still, like, it's still making money.
Mm.
And it came out, like, 1999, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's still making money, like, today.
It's also, like, not only have they made bad art, but, like, that's not an investment. It's just a quick cash grab. Like, it's a poor business model, too.
Exactly, yeah. It's crazy.
So, yeah.
Ooh, did you want me to talk about the Ellie Kedward, the witch thing?
Just a little bit.
Yeah. So just a quick thing. I did bring up before that Tristan, the girl who had the miscarriage and stuff, she spoke a little bit about this girl, Ellie Kedward. They didn't say much about it, but they did say how she could possibly be the Blair Witch and stuff.
Because
there was, like, a popular theory. Not the most popular, but, like, one of the popular ones where it's, like, so she's basically an Irish woman who was banished from the town of Blair after several local people accused her of witchcraft. So in February 1785, several children accused her of luring them into her home to draw blood from them. She was found guilty of witchcraft, banished from the village during a particularly harsh winter, and presumed dead. So different reports state that the town dragged her into the woods, tied her to a tree, and left her for dead. Mm-hmm. Young children from the township returned to investigate if Ellie had died yet, and they had found her alive and still tied to the tree. Children sent dogs after her and slashed her with sticks and knives. They dipped their hands in her blood and pressed handprints over the flesh before untying her and hanging her from the same tree. So by midwinter, all of Eddie Kedward's accusers, along with half of the town's children, vanished. Fearing a curse, the townspeople fled Blair and vowed never to utter the name Ellie Kedward again. So, if you think about that and certain things that happen in the movie, they kind of focused a lot on Ellie. Because if you remember, the characters all had, like, markings on themselves when they woke up from that night that they did not remember at all.
Yeah.
And Tristan or something, she said she had handprints. She woke up with handprints on herself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about, like, what happened with Ellie with the handprints and stuff, she kind of was like, oh, it's, like, maybe the same situation. And she also, all of them kept seeing kids. So,
yeah.
The thing is, it either could have been the Rustin Park kids, or it could have been, like, her kids, the one that tortured her.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of all kind of came into play together.
Yeah.
But yeah, they focus too much on the supernatural elements than anything else. But yeah. I think that's where they really lost me.
Mm.
Yeah.
It was just, like, too much.
Mm.
They just wanted a bit of everything. Mm. Like, all of the flashbacks and all of the creepy kids. And it was just, like, too much.
Mm.
Did you have anything else you wanted to discuss?
I think we covered the base of everything, really. There's not too much to say. Yeah, it's just a bit weird. Didn't really like it.
I'd say there's a lot of room for improvement.
Yeah, this is, like, time. Like, they could have just waited it out and, like, thought it through in, like, a better angle. Like you were saying, like, the overarching, like, the concept's, like, really good. It's just the execution, like, But other than that, like, I don't know. It's okay. It's an okay film for the time, maybe. Like, maybe if it, like, I don't know. I don't know how to support it in any way.
It's a film.
There's worse films. Yeah.
There is definitely worse films. There's worse films. Birdemic.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
oh my god. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not great, but it's, yeah.
Well, speaking of Blair Witch sequels, next episode, are we going to be discussing the next one they made?
Yeah, we'll do the next one. Okay.
Yeah. When did they release that one?
Yeah.
It was, like, late 2010s.
I think 2016 or something.
Okay.
That one, from what I heard, it's, it follows, I think they ignored this film fully, which I hope they do, because this is, like, we don't need this being referenced in. But I think it's Heather's brother or something, so they kind of go back to the first one. Mm-hmm. I think he's gone back to the forest with friends to investigate her death. I hope it's focused on figuring out what happened in the first film more than the supernatural one. Because if, I swear to God, like, if they bring back the whole, like, Blair Witch, like, let's hunt for the Blair Witch, I'm, like, gonna be so over it.
Yeah.
But it seems to be that it's more, like, they're trying to investigate her death, which I hope they do, and I hope it's less, I know it's gonna be supernatural stuff, because from, like, even from, like, the advertising screen and stuff, it seems to be, like, what's the word? It seems creepy. Like, I think the screen is, like, red, and it has, like, the Blair Witch shown on, like, the Blair Witch trophy thing shown on it. But, yeah.
We'll see what happens. I think that's about all for this week.
Yeah, I don't really know what to add. I'm not going to add anymore. I didn't like this film. That's all I want to say.
Yeah.
Don't like it. Maybe watch it once if you want. But, yeah.
Yeah. Well... yeah, I didn't really like this film either, so... yeah. That's all I've got to say. Goodbye.
Anyways, bye for now.